Hello, Internet, and welcome to the Screen Verdict Auditorium. Matt, how are you feeling about this year's Screen Verdict Awards?
Screen Verdict Awards late to the party this year, I feel. This is our latest ever scheduled awards for the year, because this is for the year 2018. The 2018 Film and TV Awards for Screen Verdict. But we just wanted to make sure there's plenty of time to get all those other precursor awards in the build-up to our ones.
Yes, it's the awards you've been waiting 7 months for. We wanted to make sure we had the perfect nominees, the perfect victors yet to be decided, because that's how the Screen Verdict Awards work. Matt and I come up with some nominees, we argue for who should be put in to the final six for each category, and then live on the podcast, we let you in behind the glass door and see who we decide for each category, who should be the victor. And Matt, how many categories are there?
There are only six. It's the most exclusive awards in Hollywood. Six awards, three for film, three for television. I've often argued that these aren't exclusive enough. We just combine the male and female acting categories and just have a TV show, TV actor, film actor, and that's all you need. But
Facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Have we got it right, or are we being too indulgent with six awards? Yeah. We need to slash it down to four. For this year, though, we're sticking with the formula of we're going to be doing three TV awards, TV actress, TV actor, TV series, film, film actor, film actress. Just six awards. Some of the most prestigious awards in the industry.
Yeah. These are the hardest to come by. Supporting, comedy, drama, whatever. We throw them all in together. Have them duke it out.
If you're a fan of Super Smash Brothers Melee, this is the Screen Verdict Entertainment Award Melee. And we're going to kick it off, I believe, with the female actor in a TV series. Okay, so Matt.
How about you read them out? My computer's gone. My screen's gone black with the list of nominees. So.
Okay. I will read out the nominees.
My prompter's gone, buddy. You need to...
Effort. We'll do it live.
Wait. I'm back. You still go with it, but I've fixed it.
Okay, here we go. And the nominee for female actor in a TV series is Rachel Brosnahan, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Carrie Brownstein, Portlandia, Ellie Kemper, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Paula Newsom, Barry, Amy Adams, Sharp Objects, and Rhea Seehorn, Better Call Saul. Wow, stacked list.
Yes, and there's a real opening this year. This is our seventh annual awards, and of the six previous years, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Veep has won four of them.
Wow.
So... she's not eligible this year. She didn't get snubbed. There were no new Veep episodes in 2018. So
yeah, whoever wins this year, enjoy it, because she's back. Julia's back next year.
Yeah, and look, like, not to spoil next year's Screen Verdict Awards, she's very good in the final season.
Very good in the final season of Veep.
Look, there's still shows to air, there's still performances. That's not said and done. But this year's an open field, I would say, without Julia in the race. So this could go any number of ways. For those who aren't familiar, I submit my list of six nominees. Jonathan submits his list of six nominees. We sort of, from those two lists, come up with the six nominees we have. And, yep.
Yeah, if we both have the same six, easy peasy. If we only have, we're in agreement with two, we then have to debate who should get the last four. So we somehow make it work each year. This is what we've got it down to. Matt, Amy Adams, I know, is one of your favorites. Why is she nominated?
Love Amy Adams. She's the lead of Sharp Objects, We love our mystery shows of Scream Verdict. This is a mystery show. It's a mini series, HBO mini series. I actually like this so much, this mini series, Sharp Objects, and was so enthralled by it. At our Works Teachers Book Club, I suggested we read the book of Sharp Objects. But look, Amy Adams plays a character, an alcoholic. I think her struggle with alcohol is very real. She engages in self-harm, which I think is quite raw and emotional. And it's just such an interesting character that you want to discover about her past. And you see her struggle with things, and you see as twists and stuff happen in the case, her have to respond to them. It's very close to home, some of the revelations. And, yeah, I just found this a captivating performance. And to be honest, I think this is one of the best Amy Adams performances she's ever given on film or TV.
You can't slack off in these TV categories. You'll end up fighting against Amy Adams, maybe Meryl Streep next year. Who knows?
Yes.
No one's safe. How would you compare it to another one of your favorites, Rhea Seehorn, if I force you to choose?
It's hard because I think Rhea Seehorn is fantastic in Better Call Saul. She gives such a great performance. It's real. It's what do I like about it? You really see what it's like for someone who's caught in the middle of things and is questioning, like, she makes a lot of choices in the show. And that's interesting for an actor to see this character make choices. She's very likable. She's very warm. And so, what I love about her is she's so subtle, Rhea Seehorn. It's the little things and the little choices she makes. And I think it's her character that elevates, like, Better Call Saul a bit and, like, you know, like Anna Gunn was a very polarizing character in Breaking Bad, but Kim Wexler's, played by Rhea Seehorn, is, I think, a very strong and fan favorite character in Better Call Saul. Hard to compare to Amy Adams. She's a supporting character. Amy Adams is very much the lead and has so many scenes in Sharp Objects. So Rhea Seehorn is a supporting role, so she has a bit less to do, but she does it very well. And she's also been doing it for years, so I've got like years worth of that character being built that feeds into her performance this season. So hard to pick one.
Someone that we both like, Carrie Brownstein, the final season of Portlandia.
Yes, Fred Armisen won last year in the male category for this show. Yeah, she's great, and she's as funny as him.
Yeah, they're a great duo. I know Fred has done, Carrie's done her things, and Fred has done other shows and movies, but Portlandia to me has been so successful, so funny, that I think of them as a duo. And even if, say, I'm watching Fred be great in something else, I'm always thinking, but where's Carrie? He needs Carrie. They're just so funny together.
Yeah.
Yeah, such a sketch show, obviously, so pretty good range of characters. Obviously, mostly comedy, but there's some few touching moments. We get kind of like a little bit of a resolution for some of the on-running characters, because unlike some other sketch shows where everything's individual, there's quite a lot of sort of unrunning storylines or characters that come back. So even though it wasn't a traditional, plot-based show, it was actually quite satisfying to see a resolution for some of these characters that we've got to grow and love over the years on Portlandia.
Yeah, and I think that's why Fred was able to win last year. I think it's why she's nominated this year, is because in their sketch performances, they're able to add a depth that most sketch.
Yes.
Characters and performances don't have. And it's less about delivering big punchlines and more about those funny little human interactions that both of them, but we're focusing on Carrie now, are so well at tapping into.
And another comedy performance, Ellie Kemper in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. What did you think of her in the latest season, Matt?
I thought the latest season of Kimmy Schmidt was great. I thought it was they ended really strong. She's been such a positive, upbeat, fun character. Love it.
Yeah, they gave her some good things to do this season. I sort of struggle to see how they, because this character has such a great premise, and then it was interesting to see what they could do with her after the first couple of seasons. But her getting the job at the tech company and her shenanigans with Titus, I thought this show was just as good as ever, and Ellie Kemper just as good as ever, and definitely one of the best comedic performances of the year.
Mm. Yeah, no, she's fantastic.
Well, perhaps one of the lesser known performances of the year, but something that I thought deserved a little bit of attention, Paula Newsom in Barry. So this is season one of Barry, not season two, and she is the detective that is on the case and ends up developing a relationship with Henry Winkler's character. So she has this great combination of really funny scenes with Henry Winkler, and then some kind of intense dramatic moments as it comes to a climax in terms of the murder case.
Mm. You know, she's great. She's really good in the show. She's not someone that jumped out to me at the end of the season, but I'm glad you've shunned some attention her way.
And who's the final nominee we have?
Rachel Brosnahan from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. A really funny, like a really smart show, real energy to it, and she just is the best thing about the show. Just the humour and warmth. And what I love about Rachel Brosnahan in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is we're so used to seeing stand-up comedians on TV played by stand-up comedians, right? Like Jerry Seinfeld, he's a stand-up comedian and things like that, where she's an actress playing a stand-up comedian. Like, she's not a stand-up in her, like, other life. That's not how she got the show. Like, oh, Rachel Brosnahan, she's so funny, let's give her own show where she's a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
So I think, like, we see a really interesting side of the stand-up comedian that we don't sometimes see, because she's able to really, like, she's such a great actress.
Yeah, I've said before about the show that I love the stuff to do with the stand-up and her pursuing that career. I think her and her manager have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Some of the family stuff to me is less interesting, but that's a reflection of the show, not so much her. I think she is fantastic in all parts of the show. She so clearly embodies this character, just fantastic accent, fantastic delivery. Just that kind of manic confidence in a way. It's kind of, you know, she's just such an extrovert, and she's kind of a bit of a mess, but also has this self-belief, and she's just so good at the same time. It's really wonderful to watch.
Mm. Thinking about this category, like, we don't have Julia Louis-Dreyfus this year. You could think it's a bit of a weak year because of that and a bit of easy run, but I'd be happy with, I think, nearly any of them winning this.
Yeah, definitely a strong category. Is anybody jumping out to you? I think I have maybe two that I'm leaning towards.
Okay. I can see a really great case for all of them. Like, Ellie Kemper's put in such a great job heading up Unbreakable for so many years and had a great final season. Brosnahan, like, so good. Fred Armisen was good enough to win actor last year. Kerry Brownson, I think, is at his level for sure. So, like, Amy Adams is so good in Sharp Objects. And Rae Seahorn, I just think she's so good year after year. Like, for me, my favourite of the two are Amy Adams and probably Rae Seahorn. What are your two, Jonathan? I'm curious.
I would say, you know, I had two, but I think I can actually narrow it down to one. I think I would argue...
What?
I think I would go with Ellie Kemper, because It's such an iconic character. It is, she's so funny, and there's some really touching moments this season relating to her book that she writes and reconnecting with her mother, played by Lisa Kudrow. And I thought, yeah, for it to kind of like tug on your heartstrings and be one of the funniest performances on TV is pretty darn impressive.
Okay. Who was your second? I'm curious who the other name you had in your head was.
Rachel Brosnahan.
She'd be a good winner too. Like, wouldn't she? So it looks like Paula Newsome and Carrie Brownstein are out. Like, seems to be just where our heads are at. Brosnahan, yeah, she's so good as Mrs. Maisel, isn't she? And, oh, boy. I've met her a couple of times, Rachel Brosnahan. She's lovely. She's so nice. I've got a good story about her. Maybe I'll share on a podcast when we're maybe talking about that show or something. Okay, but I like what you said about Ellie Kemper. So I'm happy to go with her if you are.
Wow. There you go. The winner of the best female actor in a TV series as the band gets warm. There we go, they're ready. The winner, the best female actor in a TV series is Ellie Kemper, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, great winner. An under-awarded performance too, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like the people talk about the writing on that show, and perhaps we might discuss it some more. Titus, just because he's such a big character, but Ellie Kemper, I think, is a deserving winner indeed.
Okay, well let's get to TV actor. Would you like me to read out the nominees for the TV actor award?
Okay, Screen Verdict Orchestra. Can you play Matt in for the nominees?
And the nominees for TV actor are Bill Hader, Barry, Pete Holmes, Crashing, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, Andy Samberg, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Titus Burgess, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Zach Woods, Silicon Valley.
There we go. Another stacked list, the drama, the comedy, the supporting, the lead, all put into one.
A few snubs.
Yeah, tough to get in. Tough to get in this category.
Last year's winner, Fred Armisen, misses out. And I think with the Barry Love we've had in the nominations, a bit of a snub for Henry Winkler as well, you would say.
Yeah, we love the wink, but well, you mentioned Barry. What did you think of Bill Hader? So this is season one. Just reminding the listeners again, season one of Barry. What did you think of Bill Hader?
Great, such a good performance. I can't remember when this was. I saw the pilot episode and I wrote an article for Gold Derby that night on why Bill Hader was going to win the Emmy for best comedy series.
Called it
for best comedy actor. Why he was going to win the Emmy for Best Comedy Actor. I was like, this is the perfect performance. It's got drama. It's got comedy. It's an actor playing an actor, which people like. And it's he plays a war veteran. It's a HBO show. It's like all about, like, I just thought it is the, and Bill Hader's so respected. Why he's seen as, like, I think Bill Murray said he's the best actor he's ever seen in Saturday Night Live and things like that. Like, you know, people love Bill Hader. And I just saw that pilot and I'm like, he's winning the Emmy. Like, and at that point, most people weren't predicting him to get nominated. What happened? He won the Emmy. Great performance. No, but really, like, great performance. I think I didn't like the show Barry as much as I thought I was going to. It wasn't quite as funny as I was expecting it to be. But his performance in it is so good.
Yeah. He does have those really dramatic moments in the pilot. He has a great monologue in the parking lot. towards the end of the season, which I think is the episode he submits. It's the episode with his best friend in the car.
Yeah,
which was,
I think so, yeah.
That was gripping television. Mm-hmm. I was on the edge of my seat. But also, he's Bill Hader, one of the funniest people alive. So, one of the most diverse performances of the year. And I agree that I thought the show was really good, maybe didn't hit the heights that I wanted it to, or at least the consistency that I wanted it to. But we'll talk about season two. It built on that. So big fan of the show, big fan of Bill Hader. Someone that I'm a fan of, Pete Holmes in Crashing, another HBO show. Pete, just what a good guy. I like the positivity that Pete brings to the world. He is a flawed character. He does make some goofy decisions, but I like that he's just so honest. He's so himself. He's kind of dorky, but he's just warm and sweet and cuddly. And he is playing himself, but I feel like he really bears his soul on the show. I knew he was a funny stand-up. Wasn't sure how much of an actor he was, but he really captivated me. And I believe this would be season two of Crashing. But to be honest, all pretty solid, all three seasons. So don't think that necessarily is a peak or a trough for him. Just more gold out of Pete Holmes.
I'd say an earnest performance.
Yeah. Indeed.
Bob Odenkirk, love him. He's so good. I think he is giving one of the best performances in television. I think when he was Saul on Breaking Bad, it was one of the funniest performances on television, comedy or drama. And now I think just the character he's created with this Jimmy McGill in Better Call Saul, the prequel to Breaking Bad, is just so – I just feel for him so much. He's really made a character that you care for and that you are like just – at least for me, just – I feel like I'm really, more than most other characters on TV, like, want to see what happens next. And he's funny. He's sad. Like, there's a real sadness to his character, too. It's such a great performance. And a past winner in this category.
We do love Bob Odenkirk. Someone I mentioned earlier, Titus Burgess, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Just so over the top. I think, is this the character with the best one-liner per minute ratio on television? Is there anyone that's dropping better one-liners than Titus on TV?
I would have actually, funnily enough, said, like, maybe Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad. Like, he's got less one-liners in Better Call Saul as that character's being forged. So, Titus might be up there. Like, the Veep cast have a lot of one-liners, a very different way, yeah.
But, yeah, some great stuff for Titus this season. Him joining Cats was a memorable episode where he just gets a costume and just joins the performance without being asked. I never feel let down by Titus. I feel like even if in an episode of Kimmy Schmidt where I didn't laugh as much as others, there's always a line from Titus that I remember. Go, ah, that was a good one. That made me laugh. Titus has a moment every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's great and, like, consistently been so good for so many years. Another comedic guy you love is Zach Woods in Silicon Valley, John.
Yeah, Silicon Valley, a show I really enjoy, a show that I thought might struggle after TJ Miller left the cast, but I feel like the rest of the cast really stood up, and Zach Woods is one of my favorite performers. He's just so sharp. He has such a well-defined character. His kind of his innocence and optimism is really endearing, and it's sort of like funny but harsh just how he is the butt of everybody else's jokes, which made it so great when the I'm forgetting his name, but the billionaire investor comes in, just looks at him and swear word warning, he just goes, "This guy fucks." Like, to everybody else in the show, he's a complete joke, but something about it that this, like, crude, brash billionaire guy's like, "Oh, he's the player. This guy's the player." It was kind of like a funny, redeeming moment for his character. So, yeah, big fan of Zach Woods.
Such a funny actor. Like, in everything he's in, he's always so funny. And he's got the best reactions to things and stuff. Yeah, yeah, really good. Is it even eligible, Silicon Valley? Like, when did this last air? I don't even remember this show.
You talk about Andy Samberg, and I'll get the answer to that question.
Okay. Here we go, a live questioning the eligibility of... I'm sure it's fine. Andy Samberg, another great comedic guy who carries his show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just think he's so funny. Great. And like with Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a show, so many comedies now aren't particularly funny. And this is just a funny sitcom, great ensemble, and Andy Samberg's at the lead of it. And he's just, yeah, great, funny guy. It's not the most raw performance on television or gritty performance on television, but it just provides the laughs. And there's some real heart to it too. And his relationship with Santiago on the show is really nice as well. And I think done in a sort of not annoying way, as couples are often done on TV. So, yeah, great job, Andy Samberg. Great job. The Nine-Nine. Okay.
Nice job, Andy Samberg. And to answer your question, Matt, Silicon Valley Season 5 aired between March and May of 2018. So, yes, okay. It is eligible. We just haven't had a Season 6. It is coming, though. It's going to be the final season, and it'll air late this year. So,
okay. Get excited.
Yeah. And that is everyone in the category. So we have the tough task of separating these performances. I think I have one in mind. Do you have any potential?
There's probably two that I'd rule out.
Who would that be?
Rather than one in mind.
I'll let you know if I disagree.
There's three I'd rule out. Oh, probably.
It's a big chunk. Swipe away, Matt.
I think Andy Samberg's great, but he was one of my suggestions, and I think Bob Odenkirk's a bit better. And the other two are Titus Burgess and Zach Woods, I think are really good in their roles, but maybe not at the, like, not at the winning, I don't know, just if I had to choose. Like, they're really good. But I'm open to being convinced otherwise on them.
Let me see. Well, I probably agree on Andy Samberg and Zach Woods. I am a big fan of Titus Burgess, but he was I would say probably Pete Holmes, I'd probably put in the Zach Woods, Andy Samberg category. The one for me was Bill Hader.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Just go with it.
Snap reaction. There we go. We're both on board. The Screen Verdict Orchestra is—they're in their snack break. Run back, fellas! Yeah. It was a quick decision. Here we go. Matt, announce the winner.
Yeah. And the Screen Verdict Award winner for Best TV Actor is Bill Hader for Barry.
There you go.
Unfortunately, Bill Hader could not be with us tonight. He sends his apologies, and we accept the award on his behalf.
Wow, you gave him the sauce with that article. The premium gas led him to an Emmy and an ESPY.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, no, he's having a great run.
And look, Season 2. It was pretty good. You never know. Could be in the running next year.
He could be coming. Yeah, he's going to be tough to beat next year as well. Okay. TV series, Jonathan. Do you want to read out the nominees?
Okay, here we go. The final television category. The nominees for the best television series of 2018, we have Barry, Better Call Saul, Crashing, Portlandia, Sharp Objects, and Survivor. Here you go. Alrighty, let's answer the question on everybody's lips. Survivor. Matt, explain yourself.
Well, I think it's been nominated before. I think we nominated a couple of seasons ago. And yes, it's one of my suggestions. For mine, Survivor has been the most consistent storytelling series in terms of quality the past 20 years.
All right. Well, you clearly haven't been watching The Bachelor.
It's just like, and I'm sure I put in this case a couple of years ago, like it is, it tells a compelling story. We love our mysteries, we love our power struggles and political shows, and really Survivor is the story each season of how one person came to survive and win Survivor. There's one winner at the end of the season, and you watch their journey navigating around 19 other people. And the shot, the way it's shot is brilliant. Unless there's a medical emergency, you never see another camera or piece of sound equipment in shot. So they completely create this world.
Oh, they show cameras all the time in The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just the way they portray the characters and the way they tell that story is very compelling. And this season in particular, or the last year's Survivor in particular, had a great season, Survivor David vs. Goliath, which had this really great tale of these underdog Davids taking on these Goliath characters. And just the way it played out was very compelling and gripping, and took twists along the way. And yeah, and I think that's Survivor needs to get more respect, as often dismissed as just a reality show, but it's really this great game, and it becomes this really captivating story about how these ragtag group of Davids took on the Goliaths, and then when they got ahead, they started to fall apart at the seams when they got in the majority. And yeah, it's really, really great. I think every season of Survivor is good, and this year was particularly great. One of the best seasons of all time.
Out of how many seasons?
They have had, because they do two seasons a year, Survivor, and the other one that they had for our eligibility with Ghost Island was another good, not at the same level, but I thought quite a fine season. I think they've had 38 seasons of Survivor.
Wow. There you go. One of the best of 38 seasons.
Yeah. I think it's a top, definitely top 10 season, probably top 5.
Nice. So let's see. You talked a bit about Amy Adams in Sharp Objects. What did you like more broadly in the show, storyline-wise or other characters?
Great tone. They create this world, which is really cool. You're in this small town and it's a bit creepy, and she moves into this house and her mum's super weird and her half-sister's weird, and like, it's just, you're discovering like, why are these people dying, but also the impact it sort of has on the town and the family and things like that. And you sort of, you know, see how moving back to a hometown, how much that affects Amy Adams' character and all that sort of thing. I wanted to keep watching it. I thought it's one of the, it was my probably favorite sort of mystery miniseries we've seen, like, you know, True Detective didn't quite connect with me and things like that. This one really did. And I just wanted to find out who did it, and I wanted her to solve it, and I wanted her to get out of the small town of Windgap alive. And it was pretty cool.
Nice. Well, that, let me see, we've got two dramas, a reality show, and three comedies. So the last drama is Better Call Saul. How did this compare to last season, as the show It's maintaining its quality, or is it even improved?
I would say maintain. I think this has been the most consistently good drama series on TV the past 4 years or ever. I think it's four seasons now. I think it's just a really, I think what they've done, I think, really well is they've made a prequel of Breaking Bad. And what they've done really well is because we sort of know where some of the characters are going. We know where Jimmy McGill ends up. He becomes Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad. We know where Mike Ehrmantraut ends up. We know where Gus Fring ends up. But there's other characters we don't know where they end up. There's a bit more of a mystery surrounding them. But knowing where some of the key characters end up means we can really dive into character and understanding them. And I think rather than sort of your Breaking Bad, where you have this Walter White become this megalomaniac evil guy and you sort of see that ride, this is a lot more, well, how does sort of Jimmy McGill become this bad guy, Saul Goodman? But it's also diving a lot more into his relationships. And we see his relationship with his, family and his relationship with Kim, played by Ray Seahorn and things. And I think it's just such a lovely show in sort of showing people and how the impact people have on other people and how that can affect the way people think about themselves and how also just like, you know, Jimmy McGill, he's a very quintessential underdog, and it's a great underdog story as well. So I think it's just really good. And they keep this very distinct tone, and the camera shots are wonderful. Like, it's not the kind of shots you'd see in any other show, which I really like. Like, it seems like a lot of thought is put into everything that is being done on this show. So I can't say enough good things about Better Call Saul. I think it's the gold standard for drama series at the moment.
Very nice. Well, a show that we just gave an award to, Barry, I thought was a really interesting show, one of the most original shows from last year. I felt like it struggled a little bit with tone in the sense that I felt like the switch from drama to comedy was a little jarring, perhaps forced at times, and not every episode really had me enthralled, but there were some great moments. And I think the finale, the episode with his friend and the finale were just really, really gripping television, edge of the seat, wanting to know what happened next, and hit some really great heights. So perhaps wasn't the most consistent. I would maybe argue that season two was a little bit more consistent, but definitely in the running for me is one of the best shows of the year. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, love Barry. I'd agree with you, not the most consistent show. I think at times the sort of the parts of the show were better than the show as a whole sort of thing. Like, I think, like, you know, Henry Winkler and Bill Hader and the other actors on the show are always great. Like, no matter the consistency, I think they're always fantastic and things, but maybe the show wasn't as consistent. But, yeah, great show. I love it, how original it is, how different it is, and how you got these great actors like Bill Hader, this great comedic force, and Henry Winkler, one of the most iconic TV actors of all time, doing arguably his best work. It's fantastic.
Nice. We have Portlandia. A show that we're both a fan of. I felt like the final season, it was interesting in that I felt like it really did the characters and the show service. It felt like Portlandia really kind of encapsulated what the show was trying to do, what it says about Portland itself, the city. But I'm not sure if the individual sketches were the funniest. And it is a little bit hard when you have sort of a long-running series with recurring characters, you know, you can, to, I guess, take them wholly original places. It is kind of it is kind of fun to see more of the things that you like about them, and you can subvert expectations a little bit, but I just don't know if there were as many sketches this year that really impressed me. Because, you know, when I first started watching Portlandia, it's like, there's nothing else like this. This is just hitting a chord, hitting a type of comedy, getting a particular laugh out of me, eliciting something that other shows don't. And while the final season was solid, I don't know if it had as many all-time, like, memorable sketches for me.
I'd sort of agree. Like, I think Portlandia is probably my favorite sketch show of all time, and it's because I cared about the characters in it. And I think, as I said before when we talked about Carrie, it wasn't about sort of punchlines. It was about the funny little human interactions. And just sort of the bizarreness of Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein in all their glory, I think is just... I can just laugh at Fred doing so little. And I can laugh at Carrie doing so little. they've just got that about them. I agree. It's a good final season for the show. And we've seen a lot of horrible final seasons for a lot of shows, but probably not their best season at the same time. Like, it probably wasn't finding it as funny as when I was watching season 3 or 4 of Portlandia.
Nice. Well, let me see.
Crashing.
Last show, Crashing.
You talked about it with Pete Holmes, but you haven't talked about it as a series.
Yeah, love Pete as an actor. Love his podcast. Love the show. I think the show is it's somewhat plot driven, but it meanders a little bit. It's kind of just following his career and his relationships, and it's based on his real life, but it's not point to point his real life. They do take liberties. It's a Larry David. Pete Holmes. And I do find some of the moments frustrating, some of the characters frustrating, and I think that's on purpose. It's produced by Judd Apatow, so sometimes you do have some slowed down beats and some sad character moments, and I'm like, this isn't funny, and I'm sure Judd's in his director's chair saying that this is real life, and I'm like, damn you, Judd, make me laugh. And I feel like a lot of those moments work, but maybe not all of them. Very sad to see it go after 3 seasons. It would be, although this is only season 2, so we would have one more chance to award it next year if we wanted. But definitely a very funny show. I just don't know if it knocks it out of the park every single episode.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit like Portlandia, maybe. Like, you know, like this particular season, really great, consistent, but not always consistent.
Well, there we go. That's every series. Matt, what are you leaning towards? I don't have a clear winner in mind. So if you're passionate about something, I could be swayed.
I'm leaning towards Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul. Any final pitch? What just makes it great? What makes it the best?
A distinct. Now I feel like, oh, I'm in a debate. I've got to like have the.
Yeah, the show's like, legacy is on the line.
It's a prequel that stays true to the tone of the original show, but provides something different. It's, I think, creates a distinct tone. It's sort of got, you know, there's something about Better Call Saul that's different to every other show on TV. I think it's got some great performances driving it, and it just really does deep dives into characters well, in a sort of very, and I think it like there's moments like with Kim and stuff in the show where it's very subtle and understated. And then there's moments where you've got brash Jimmy / Saul doing their thing, and it's just really entertaining and funny. And I think this sort of tone that they're able to like go from really emotional to sort of funny, goofy scenes with him running around with kids with camera equipment and stuff. I just think the way it's sort of – the thought that's put into the show is great. And I think there's a – I just think it's the best drama on TV at the moment.
I haven't quite latched on to Better Call Saul the way you have. But I've got to say 2018, not the strongest year from dramas. There wasn't a show for me that I loved – you know, like a Boardwalk Empire or one of the better seasons of Game of Thrones. And so I would probably agree with you that for 2018, Better Call Saul, best show.
Stranger Things didn't have a season in 2018.
There you go. It's all about the timing. Better Call Saul, they might have done it. Matt, do you want to announce a victor?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. It's exciting.
Here we go.
And the SV for best television series is Better Call Saul. Woo! Okay. Unfortunately, the producers of Better Call Saul couldn't be here today, so we accept this award on their behalf.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Better Call Saul takes it out, wraps up the TV category.
A category that Breaking Bad won twice, so it continues on another win, I guess, for Vince Gilligan.
Yeah, Vince is that awards, that trophy room of his. Adding another couple SVs, we'll see.
Another one.
Another one. Well, yeah. Today he's only adding one, but over the years he's added a couple SVs. Is there an out point on the series? Do you know how many seasons they plan to do?
I interviewed Bob Odenkirk last year, and I asked him this question, and he said it's up to Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan. It's not up to him. He'll do it when they're. He thinks it would be wrong for it to go longer than Breaking Bad.
And Breaking Bad had five, or was it? But they had a 5A and a 5B, right?
Yeah. So Better Call Saul has 10 episode seasons. And I worked it out when he said that, when he gave me that. I worked it out that if they did six seasons of Better Call Saul, that's 60 episodes. And I think Breaking Bad had 62 episodes.
There you go. So are you predicting six seasons?
I think there'll be five or six. They're definitely doing another one. But, yeah, I don't think there'll be more than six seasons.
Well, there you go.
And with where they're up to in the story, it's sort of like I think it makes sense.
Interesting. Well, let us know what you thought. I think we might split our TV and film categories just to allow you to
digest.
Yeah. It's a lot to take in, a lot of nominees, a big year for television. And let us know whether you agree, you disagree. Facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. What were your favorite performances? What were your favorite series? Let us know, and we might have to address that, where we went wrong or how we got it right in next week's housekeeping.
Yes.
Okay. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with part two of the Screen Verdict Awards, the film categories.
Oh, no, I made a noise like that.
I liked it.